Praise God. I thought he was about to get cranked up. Okay. The reason I asked everybody to get in the middle is what we're going to do tonight is everyone's going to get involved. How many of you ever went to a baby shower or a party and they done things where you had to get involved? That's easy. Well, it needs to start being easy to get involved in what's going on in God. And we're going to get involved by talking, and you'll get a chance to read scripture, talk about it. But we want to talk about healing. It seems like our church, our congregation, our people, seems like that's where the devil focuses his attack on, is sickness and healing. But sometimes we got to learn how to walk in it. Sometimes we got to learn how to live in it and speak against it, no matter what we're feeling, no matter what we're going through. You know, and several people asked me what was wrong with my foot. There's nothing wrong with my foot. I hurt my knee years ago, and the last few weeks I thought I was 18 and jumping off the bow of that boat. So when you do that, sometimes there's a consequences. But we're going to talk about, you know, I mentioned this morning a little bit about healing. But I even asked the Lord, I said, Lord, how could I go and talk about healing if I'm limping? See, it don't matter what it looks like. It don't even matter what it feels like. The fact is, Jesus paid the price for you and I to be healed. And it don't matter what we're feeling. It don't matter what people think. It don't even matter what we think. The Word of God, there's nothing we could do or say to change what God's Word says. And my Bible tells me I am healed. I am made whole. But sometimes we got to go beyond the pressure or the pain and speak it. And in the midst of the pain, sometimes we got to walk in it and trust God that He can do it. Because the price has already been paid. He didn't ask us to take stripes to be healed. He didn't ask us to go to the cross and shed blood to be healed. He just asked us to take Him at His word and receive what the word says and learn how to live in it. And, you know, I believe church should be fun. But, you know, church is what we make it. Serving God is what we make it in our life. It's what we allow it to be. And I got a phone call a few minutes ago from Pastor Mark, and he told me that his church, since they've been here, he said the leadership of his church is just, he said it's like an explosion took place. You know, people starting to do what God called them to do and be who God called them to be. And, you know, even in leadership, We have to go according to the word of God. You know, and if your leadership's not doing what the word says, you can't expect your followers to do it. You can't expect the saints to do it. So, you know, and that's what it's all about. And, you know, for a long time, we've been going back and forth and questions was asked. You know, what do we have to do to get a change? And every time the answer was never changed. So number one, the leadership has to be led by God. You know, you can't expect your church to go nowhere if your leadership's not willing to go. You know, if those that's in charge and those that God put in place to be the head, it's not doing it. We can't expect people to do it. See, it's not. Sometimes we think God's not ready for us to take that role, but God's been ready for us to take that role. What God's waiting on is us. You know, our attitude in the things that we do in God determines whether or not our community wants to be a part of God. You know, they could go to parties and do things and not come to church. You know, you go to a party and have fun. But to have real peace of mind and real love in your heart, it takes God. You know, to have a complete peace about everything going on in the world, it takes God. It takes His Word. And a lot of times, you know, I talk to people that they're healing. They need a healing of their mind because they've been believing so much junk for so long that it's destroying their mind. If you can't think straight, you're not going to receive straight. You'll not act right. You know, that's what I believe that God can use us to help people in our community that's thinking the wrong way. And it's leading them on a path that's just totally destroying them. So we have, you know, let's not think we could just sit back and not have nothing to do. There's a lot for us to do right here in this community and reach people. If you're here and you might have your favorite verse that you standing on concerning healing, there's hundreds of healing verses, healing scripture. You know, I just told Brother Josh upstairs, I said, you know, there's so much in God's word about healing if we'll just learn how to live it out, how to walk in it daily. It'll help us and it'll cause that fire to be rekindled. It'll cause an anointing to begin to grow in our life. You know, and the Lord just reminded me of this way back when we first started. We were having men's meetings. And there was a guy from another church came in, and he came in a wheelchair. He wasn't very old, but he had a sickness that they couldn't find the cure for. And he came to several of the men's meetings. And a few weeks went by, and Pastor and I got a phone call that he was in a hospital. It was back when Metacrest was called Metacrest, not Eisner. And we went in, he's in intensive care, not responding. And when he did respond, it wasn't verbal. Every now and then, if you'd asked him something, he would squeeze your hand. That was the only response he gave. And we walked in there and we prayed for him. And, you know, we said, you know, if you hear us, he squeezed our hand. And we prayed. And I remember leaving out the room in the ICU. And back then, right behind the ICU room was a family room. And his mama, she said, there's a lot of people going to be here today. She said, if y'all would, I want y'all to pray for every one of them. You know, I'm thinking, you know, we're just going to pray and leave. We in that room, and as they walked in, she grabbed them by the hand, and we prayed for them. By the time we prayed for them, some more walked in, and we stayed there for several hours just praying for people. And about 3 days later, you know, some were bound by drugs. Most of them that came in was lost. You know, there were several of them that said they accepted Jesus that day. But about 3 days after we left, the man died. And Pastor and I sat down and we talked about it and it bothered us. And we wondered, where did we mess up? What did we do that the man never lived? You know, we quoted scripture. We said, you know, we prayed and just. And we had an evangelist come through. And we're sitting down talking. And he said, listen, it's not that anybody done anything wrong. It's not that anybody messed up. He said, but on that man's deathbed, he witnessed to more people not even realizing it than he could ever imagine. Because had he not been in that position, all those people that never heard about Jesus would have never came to that hospital. I would say we prayed for 100 easy. I mean, after we began to talk to family members that were out in the hallway, they said the doctors literally came to the door and they put their ear against the door and they were listening. And one nurse made the statement, she said, this hospital will never be the same. So when they passed by that room, you could literally feel the anointing of God. You know, it wasn't nothing we done. It's because God showed up. It's because somebody said, Lord, here we are, and we can't do this without you. And, you know, the nurse's station was right next to the room. You could actually hear through the wall. And for a long time, they talked about all the prayer and what they felt when God showed up. You know, that's what it's about. No matter what the situation is, no matter what we're going through, no matter what we're faced with, the key thing is God has to show up. We have to make room for any situation we're going through, for anything we faced in our life, for God to intervene. Because see, without God, we are no different than the children of Israel. We're just going around in circles. We're just going around looking for the manna the next morning. But see, God's a greater God than that. Said he's an awesome God. And, you know, I talked about this morning the ruler's son at Jesus' healed him and he didn't even touch him. You know, think about Lazarus. They done had the wake. They done had the funeral. And they done buried him. And what did they all say? Well, Lord, had you been here, he would have not died. Well, he's going to raise again. See, in their mind, they thought he was talking about the resurrection. Imagine going to the morgue and calling somebody's name. Oh, my. And then all of a sudden you hear a noise in that cooler. Listen, it's the same power that raised Lazarus is here today. I said the same anointing that raised the same God. The same God that raised Lazarus is here today. He's right here in this service. But what we got to do is activate that power. You know, we all looking for the power of God. We sing songs, let it rain, or pour it out. Listen, he don't have to pour it out. It's already in us. We got to let it come out. God can't pour out something that he already gave. What it is, he gave it to us. It should be in us, and we got to let it out. We don't need to be waiting for God to let it and say, let it rain. It should be already in us, and we let it out. See, we walk around, and it's right here. Every place I go, it's where I go. But the question is, am I willing in whatever setting I'm in to let him out? See, we want to keep him, and we want to walk around with him, but we don't want people to see it. We don't want people to feel it. Listen, there was a time that you would go places and people knew you were a Christian. They would watch what they say. Now they don't care. Now they don't care. It don't matter if your mama's there, if your wife's there, if your daughter's there. They just say what they want to say. And if you don't like it, oh well. And see, we want to go and just sneak around. We want to just walk and not let people feel it. Listen, they don't care what they do, so we need to start letting God out no matter where we go. We need to start allowing God's presence to come out of us and be known, be seen, and be recognized. See, we want the world wants God in a crisis. Organizations want God in a crisis. But when everything's going good, when everything's flowing, and everything seems to be happening okay, they don't thank God, they don't call on God, but let something happen. It's just like, you know, they don't want prayer in school till something happens at a school. You let something happen in America, some kind of shooting or something, and you know as well as I know, it hits the news and everybody's praying. Well, listen to me. My wife shows me sometime when, you know, when different things happen and people get on Facebook and first thing people says, oh, I'm praying for you. Listen, there's some people I wish they wouldn't be praying for me. Listen, when Jesus healed the woman with the issue of blood, he's on his way to the centurion's house to heal his daughter. When he got there, I don't know what your Bible says, but my Bible says when they got there and Jesus, they said, she's dead. You're too late. What you showing up now for? No, she's not dead. She's sleeping. And the Bible says they laughed at him. So Jesus said, okay, everybody get out. We don't have no room for doubt here. We don't have no room for unbelief. So just go on. Take your little nosy self and go, because that's all they were doing was being nosy to see what was going to happen. And when he got rid of doubt, he walked in with him and a couple other people. And he spoke God's word, not to edify himself, but to edify the Father. And the girl rose. And he said, if you don't believe she's healed, bring me a piece of meat. But you see, some of those people, I look at it and I'll see them. Oh, we praying for you. I'm like, I wish you would quit. because you don't believe anyway. Yeah, you don't know what the inside of a church looks like, and you want to be talking about praying. You ain't been to church since you're born. You don't have a relationship with God, so you sure don't need to be praying. You don't have no faith, because if you'd have faith, you'd be serving God. Get rid of the doubt. Get rid of unbelief. Get rid of those that all they want to do is be nosy and make fun. And allow God to be who he is and do what has to be done. And we'll see more people walking completely made whole than we're seeing now. You know, and people done had sickness so long they call it theirs. My high blood pressure, my diabetes, my this and my that. Listen, it's not yours. It's not yours. The devil lied to you and whispered in your ear one day and said you're going to have it the rest of your life. You got to just go get. Somebody asked today, where was the medicine packets? Not the one for 1 week, but one for 2 weeks. Quit taking all that medicine, you don't need them packets. You know, we walk around in this stuff so long we think it's ours, and we say, well, my asthma's acting up. I think one of my kids said today I could go to an orthopedic. I don't need an orthopedic, I'm healed. Where my healing's coming from, he don't even ask for a $50 deposit. And he don't bill your insurance. Don't go to the doctor with insurance. They be telling you got all kind of stuff. They send you to 25 of their friends so they can find something wrong with you. You know, you'll get a prayer request and God will move and you'll hear, oh, it has to be God. Well, if you know so much about that God, that God done that, why are you not in a church somewhere thanking him? Why are you not in a church somewhere serving him? But see, people feel good because they make those statements. But if we can allow God to come out of us wherever we are, see, people want help. I had a young man call me and say, man, I need help. I said, well, I can help you, but I can only help you in one way. And that's in God, because that's the only way I know to help you. So he didn't really want help. He wanted somebody to come hug him and pat him on the back and tell him everything was going to be okay. And, you know, I'm here with you. You start mentioning God, you'll tell if they really want help or not. You know, it's like the guy standing on side of the road or at the red light begging for a dollar. And you tell them they don't have to live the way they're living. You know, there's a God that cares more about you than this. You don't have to be here. You just got to start trusting God and serving God, and God will cause you to prosper. God will cause you to not be in want so bad. But you got to serve God. See, they don't want to hear that. They just want you to give them that little dollar so they can go find somebody else or another 25 or 30 people to give them a dollar that they go get they fix or whatever they want. You know, I'm going to give you something that's going to really fix you, and that's Jesus. You know, you won't be looking for another fix from a man no more. You'll be looking to serve God. You'll be looking to better your life. You know, it's kind of like the guy in Baton Rouge when I pulled up. He's got a sign, I work for food. I forgot who was sitting with me. I said, I looked across the street at the four-way intersection. There was three restaurants says now hiring. I said, man, he can go over there and work for money. What he wants to work for food for? All you got to do is get rid of get looking at the cars coming, turn around and look on that side of the road. They hiring. Go get you a job. See, people get caught up in that, and that's what they want people to feel sorry for them. And they think that's the only way. Just the last time I was in Baton Rouge on Essen Lane, there's a lady standing on the side of the highway by the stops, by the red light, asking for rent money. Because she's a single mom with three kids, but she's by the red light. My first thought was, well, if you by the red light, where's your kids? Who'd you leave your kids with? You know, what's more important to you? You standing by the red light begging for money, or you stay at the safety of your children? And I'm thinking, well, at some point, some cop's going to stop and want to know, where's your kids? See, that's a choice people makes. And it's no different being healed. You know, Lazarus was dead. There's nothing to change the fact he was in wrapped in grave clothes. He was in a grave. He was dead. And people accepted that. But Jesus said, Father, to edify you, to prove to the people who you really are, he spoke life. And when he called, he came forth. You see, not only was he raised, once we are raised, there has to be a release. Because what did Jesus say? Loose him and let him go. In other words, he's not dead anymore. Take the grave clothes off of him. He's wrapped up like a mummy. He's come out hopping. Be loosed and let go. You know, sometimes we come to church and we get saved and we sit in here like a bunch of mummies. Well, listen, God wants to loose us so that we could be set free, and he wants to let us go. Why? Because there's somebody else jumping around like a mummy. There's somebody else that's wrapped up in spiritual grave clothes that we need to call forth their name so that they can be raised from the dead, because spiritually they're dead. Spiritually there's nothing there. Spiritually they're done. But we need to start speaking the word of God in their life and cause a spiritual resurrection in them that they could understand who God is and want to serve God. But see, when they come... we need to be the one to speak the word that they're loose and set free to serve God. See, you can't come and say, I got saved, but stay wrapped up in worldly things. And that's what people do. They want to get saved, but they want to stay wrapped up in the world. Well, you can't be wrapped up in the world. You got to be loosed and set free so you can freely serve God, because God said he will not share his glory. He will not share you and I with no one. God created us to serve him. And like I said the other night, he could speak the word and instantly across the world, people would fall down on their knees and worship him. But that wouldn't be our own free will. He wants us to activate our own free will to want to serve him, to want to be who he is, to want him to be who he has to be in our life and be our God. That's what it's all about. You know, there's scripture just all throughout the word that talks about healing, speaks about healing, and just we can have it, but we got to go to the word, grab a hold of it, and start walking in it. And if you're here, you might have one of your very favorite verses that you stand on concerning healing. Won't you just go to it? I'm going to get you to read it. And let's talk about it. How many ever went to visit somebody that you hadn't seen in a long time and you just sat there? There was no communication. See, when we go visit people that we hadn't seen in a while, there's communication. You know, they let you in. Most people make coffee. Get the donuts out, or the bread and the toast and the crackers and the butter. The cinnamon rolls or whatever they do. And you start communicating. Well, let's communicate tonight. We don't have coffee and bread, but we got something better than that. Who's got a verse they want to read?
3 years ago, 2.5 years ago, I began standing on the scripture. I got very healed. But to be able to explain this to you, I have a little bit of a testimony. When I first gave my heart to the Lord, I was 17 years old. And I didn't know it at the time, but I began to get a little afraid of new things. And it got to the point where the fear was so great that one night I even pulled up the minister's screen door off the hinges. That's how terrified I was. Ran out of the house in my pajamas. My sister run behind me, put a sheet around me. That's how terrified I was. This thing just had a hold of me, and I could not get, for some reason, just like I could not get victory over this. It happened for months and months to be praying for it. And then the Lord gave me a dream, and I seen myself laying in the bed, and the light came out of heaven and just burned from my back. And I knew that I was set free from the fear. And then a few years ago, I began to get real ill and have a lot of trouble with different genes. And I got back and forth in the hospital, blood pressure problems, just through the roof, real problem, really low, just to find out all kinds of things wrong with my body. And I began to look at scripture, and I've been leaning on this scripture for the last about 2.5 years. Psalms 103, my favorite. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. He pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems you and pardons you from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, and who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed among the people. And every day, one night Brother Marcellian was here, and I was really, really ill, and I was going out the back door, and I asked Sister Marcel for a book. She gave me this. She said, "Who is this for?" I said, "It's for me." And I didn't realize until she spoke to me. She asked me what was wrong and told what was going on. And I did not realize that such a spirit of fear had gripped me again without me even realizing it. I didn't recognize it at the time. And she spoke it. She said, "You're afraid." And at the time, I didn't want to accept it. She said, "You're afraid of death. That's what's happening." And I said, I'm afraid to die, you know, in myself. I'm saying this, and I behold, I begin to ponder it. And weeks before, the Lord had begin me to redeem me from the pit, and redeemed me from the pit. I kept wondering what this was, and all of a sudden, it's like the Lord shed this light on me. The enemy came back in a different form and didn't even recognize it. And then he, of course, released me from that again, and I've been walking with it, you know, in it. Destroy
Right.
You know, sometimes we have to go to doctors and we have to go through what they say is wrong to really come to a complete understanding of who God is. You know, I'll never forget, it was a church service. We got here. And Christopher was attacked with anxiety. We left church and I went to town. I went to Ashner. And the doctor took, we went in the room and the doctor checked him. He said he has anxiety. He'll be on a medicine the rest of his life. So there ain't no way. And did he ever take it? I think he took one or two pills, not many. And we came back and we prayed. So God, he's not taking medicine the rest of his life. It's a spirit. And you got to come against it. Because that spirit. Listen, I've spoke to people. I've been on medical calls. I was so upset. I was literally angry at the enemy. On the two last calls I went on medically was teenagers with anxiety. You know, and I'm thinking, God, why can't their parents understand this is a spirit? And that spirit will tell your mind to quit breathing and tell your body to quit breathing, and it will. And I remember we were down a road on a boat, and a guy had it. And when I walked in, we started checking him out. And I looked at the guys that worked with him. I said, this is anxiety. I said, and it will kill him. If he's not careful and he don't turn us over to God, it will kill him. So we get him in an ambulance and they fixing to leave with him. And the guys off the boat walked up to him and we're talking about it. I said, it's a spirit. And somebody needs to go and take control over it and explain to him, God can heal him. So my son had it. And we had a choice. When the doctor said what it was, we had a choice. He could live on medicine the rest of his life. I think he was, 16? And he's 30. He's 30 years old now. And he only took 2 pills. See, God don't change his mind 15 years later. You know, halfway through this, God didn't change his mind and say, well, he's not healed no more. But you got to take authority over it. You got to walk in the word of God and trust in what God says and allow God to do what he said. See, that wasn't real popular. You know, let's just face it. Everybody was okay with going to the doctor. You know, you go and find you somebody that ain't never been in church in their life, and they fine, man. I'm so glad you taking that medicine. You went to the doctor. You taking care of yourself. Well, really, are we? If you read the side effects of medication, it'll scare you more than the sickness. You know, look at TV. Watch it. When it comes on, commercials, they sue. The pharmaceutical companies are getting sued every day because the medicine to help one thing's destroying something else. In some cases, it's causing death. So, you know, when you look at these things and you start studying and you start reading about it, that should raise up our level of faith and say, hey, God, your word says I'm healed. I'm going to walk in it. I'm going to claim it. By Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. He paid the price. I'm healed. But you got to, you know, it kind of goes against the flow when you're trusting God. Because the flow of the world is go to the doctor and do what they tell you. Somebody else.
Right. Thank you, Lord. That's right. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Somebody else. Thank you, Father.
You know, sometimes when we're faced with different attacks from the enemy. And, you know, and I understand some people don't feel comfortable talking in a setting like this. But you know, there's got to be somebody that you trust. You know, I remember my wife and I were in town, and Brother Preston called and said, "We need you to come over." So I'm on my way home from town. We're on our way. So, but I'm praying right now. And you know, when we got there, I think he might have called again before we got there. But when we got there, you know, we talked about some things that I knew wouldn't be talked about in this kind of setting. But you see, we got to find somebody that we know will continue to pray. You know, if they'd be room for doubt, when Jesus got into that room, when he got in that house, he wouldn't have told the people to leave. He'd have let them sit there. But sometimes we got to push doubt aside. And so, you know, sometimes when we share it, and it might just be one or two people, but when you share it and you let it out, they could help you get rid of the doubt. You know, sometimes it's not other people, it's us. Because we've lived in it so long, we think, well, this is just a way of life. Well, no, it's not a way of life. That's not what my Bible says. But we accept it and we get used of it. You know, it's just like the night I came on a Thursday night and nobody knew. I was in severe pain. And I had a message ready. And when I got behind a pulpit, the Lord said, "You're not preaching what you think you're preaching. I want you to talk about healing." So I did. And I'm telling you, I'm in severe, my ear is just thriving, hurting. And I'm talking about healing. And at the end of the service, Sister Lynn walks up with Lo Jack. She said, "I need you to pray for Lo Jack because in the morning there's a surgery scheduled. The doctor's going to replace his eardrum. Do the surgery and do whatever it takes to get it the way it's supposed to be." And I got the oil and we prayed. In a minute, I laid my hand on him. I felt the pain just leave my body. And we prayed. And she went to the doctor and he made this statement. He said, "Let me check one more time." And he got his little tool and he looked in Lo Jack's ear. He said, "Ma'am, we're not doing the surgery because not only is his eardrum healed, it looks like somebody put a brand new one in it." See, God don't fix the old. He replaces it with new. See, sometimes we got to go beyond what we're feeling. We got to go beyond the circumstances and say what God said. And when I'm telling you, the minute I laid my hand on him, instantly I was healed and he was healed. God performed a miracle. But I had to walk in it. You know, it wasn't but a few months later, I just got this sharp pain in that same ear. I said, "No, devil, I'm healed. I'm made whole." You know, my wife can tell you, if I go to the doctor, if I ask to go to the doctor, it's bad. And every time I've ever been, and he said, "Go home, stay home, don't work. You better come stand by the door and keep me home." You know, I remember going to the doctor, had pneumonia, was in bad pain, was in worse pain when I left the hospital than when I got there. They sent me home with medicine. "Take this for 10 days and don't leave." Well, the fourth day, I just told the Lord, I said, "Lord, either you're going to heal me or I'm just going to die out on that boat because I'm going." I said, "I'm not taking no more medicine. I'm done." I believe you made my body and you can heal it. And when I walked in that restaurant at 5 o'clock in the morning, because that's back when all the guys used to show up at the B&M restaurant. Well, you talk about the B&M, that tells you age. And everybody looks at, what are you doing? Because they all knew I was sick, bad sick. I said, I'm healed. I'm going out. One of y'all's taking me out. And the pain went away. And I was healed. But see, again, a couple weeks later, just a sharp pain right in the middle of my chest. And I had to rebuke it. Because the devil's not just going to let you walk in it. He's going to see if you're really trusting God. And what you do when it comes, you rebuke it. You resist it. The Bible says resist the devil and he will flee. And that's what we have to learn how to do. Somebody else. Right.
You know, his word don't say that he'll just heal some of them. He'll heal all of them. And they ain't got a doctor on the face of this earth that can say that they can heal any all of them. They might can help you with some of them. But they ain't one of them that say they can heal all of them.
That's God, right.
Thank you for his word. And it goes in Proverbs 35, it says every word of God is tested. You know, and when you start talking about healing, you're going to be tested.
Oh, yes.
And it's up to us to stand on it with our faith.
Yes.
If his word said he'll heal all diseases, he'll heal all diseases.
And that's right.
He's just amazing. I just love him and appreciate it.
Hallelujah. See, we got to walk in it. I mean, and it's, there's so many scripture. And you know, there's scripture that don't even say healing in it, that pertains to healing, and we need to walk in it. We need to just learn. Daily, every day, it has to be one of our learning skills that we just take on us every day to learn how to walk in God's word every day. For wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to know what to say. Because listen, your encounter can be as soon as in the morning. And it might not be one of your family members. It might not be somebody that, it might not be an aunt, an uncle, or a cousin, or a niece, or a nephew. It might be just somebody out on the street that has to hear what God's word says concerning a situation in their life, and we have to be willing to share it. We have to be willing to tell them, you know, I had this, and this is what God done for me. You know, and there's just so many times that God showed up. And he gave life. And the reason he gave life, because he is life. You know, I know what it is to not know what's going on for a period of time. I know what it is to not understand why you wake up and you're all hooked up to IVs and you're in a hospital room. But I also know what it is for my God to show up and speak life. See, a lot of people can tell you what it is to fall out and wake up and you're in a hospital room. But not everybody knows what it is for their God to show up and speak life. Or they won't admit that. But I can tell you that in a time that I didn't understand, didn't know, and didn't realize what was happening, God spoke life. So I have no other choice but to serve him. You know, not only did he give me life when I was born, Some 49 years later, he gave me life again. You know, and when God does that, there ain't nobody in this world could tell me we don't serve an awesome God. But see, even in that, I had to learn how to walk in it. Because for a long time, I even made the statement one time. I said, you know, if I'm walking around certain people, and I just kind of, if I was walking on something and lost my balance a little bit, there was three people to catch me. See, there was times I would be at home and just the pain would come because it was being tested. You know, the devil was checking it out. Oh, is he really trusting you, Lord? Is he really trusting you, God? Yeah, I am. Because every time that pain came, I rebuked it. I let the devil know I'm standing on God's word. He gave life, he spoke life, and I'm going to live that life that he gave and he spoke. And I'm going to trust him and thank him for it. And that's what God wants us to do. You know, that when we go through things like that, we can help somebody. That person that don't have a clue what they're going to do next, which direction their life's going to go, we can lead them in the right direction. In God, by his word. Let's all stand. Let's continue to just pray for one another. Continue to pray for our pastors as they're on vacation. Pray for, there's a lot of people in our church traveling this week. Brother Chad, Sister Linda's up at his mom's house. She's not doing well. You know, when they made that statement, I believe that they're not there just for a visit. I believe that God's going to cause his word to be spoken. Yes. And his word's going to become real to his mom and his dad. Now, whoever's in that surrounding, whoever's in that house, I believe God's word's going to become more real to them than it has ever been and cause a relationship to take place between them and God like never before. See, and that's what we have to be ready for. You know, you could speak about healing, but also we got to throw in, you know, real healing comes and it has to cause a relationship between us and God. Because without that relationship, we really have nothing to stand on. Because a relationship will cause us to dig right here. It'll cause us to get in God's word. And just want more and more of him to where we can walk in that and live in it daily. You know, they watched a movie last night at my house, and they watched it again today called War Room. And one of the main people in the movie, she was selling houses, and they walked into this house where the older lady had her prayer closet. And see, some people don't believe what I'm about to say. You know, and I understand it was just a movie, but it had so much truth to it. The man walks into the closet and he says, he walks in, he walks out, and he walks back in, walks out, and he goes back in, and his wife says, "Hey, what you doing?" He said, "Somebody was praying in here." He said, "It's literally baked in. You can feel it." And see, I believe that. I believe that you can have an anointing, such an anointing in your life that you go to people's house and it leaves a residue of God's anointing that when you leave it, it just lingers. See, that's what God wants in our life. He wants to put an anointing so strong in us that we have, the places we leave, it causes a residue of his anointing. You know, I made this statement the last time I was in Alabama. I preached in Alabama and Georgia at the same time. And we stayed at the Hilton, the Hampton Inn. in Valley, Alabama. And for some reason, it was the second time we got there, and they gave us the same room. But there was some prayer going on. There was some studying going on in that room. And I made this statement while I was preaching up there. I said, I don't know who's getting that room I was in, but I could tell you they're going to know that the Spirit of God had been there. Because I believe that it left a residue. You know, and I got to thinking about it later. Maybe they went in there and cleaned it up and went and found out who was in it. And they didn't want that same feeling in every room, so they just put us in the same room every time. So, you know, somebody's going to go in that room and come to a realization in their life because of what they, not because of me, but because of the residue of God's anointing, and it's going to cause them to ask questions, and they're going to get saved. You know, I might not never know that, but I believe that through, because, you know, in the wee hours of the morning when we're going, the Lord just wakes us up, and you start praying and seeking God, and just there's an awesomeness of God's presence, and when it's that strong, it's got to leave something behind. And that's what God wants in our life, you know, when we visit people. You know, people don't ask you or make the statement when you walk around and say there's something different about you just to have something to say. It's because they felt something. And that's the realness of God. And I just thank him for that. You know, sometimes you don't have to be the first one to say anything. And when they can feel it, it opens up a total different avenue for you and I to witness and share God's love and his anointing, his presence with people when they ask first. Because when they ask first, it kind of opens the door up a little bit wider. And just, you know, be willing to share what God's doing. Be willing to, you know, be honest with people. You know, let's not tell them anymore, get saved and everything's going to be all right. Because I found out when I got saved, all hell broke loose. And listen, I heard it said. And from hearing it so much, I've said it. Oh, once you get saved, that's a bed of roses. Once you get saved after the first battle, you can't even tell the rose was a rose. The little stickers ain't even in it no more. It's a battle.
Yes, it is.
But the Bible says we win.
Yes, yes.
You know, the Bible says we overcome. We conquer this. We got this. You know, that's what the young people say now. I got this. You don't want none of this. You know, tell the devil, you don't want none of my God. You say, can I do that? Absolutely. Don't go run off in a corner crying, oh, please leave me alone, because he ain't going nowhere. Take authority in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood of Jesus. Listen, we walked in people's house that you passed a certain area in, and the hair raised up on the back of your neck. It take a real bad spirit to make the hair raise up on the back of my neck right now. But look, Sister Gloria, you could tell you. You know, we were young. We were teenagers. And they call, come pray. And they take you, and you're walking by, and you pass that spot, and you can just feel the presence of the enemy. We get in there, and we just start rebuking that thing, and all of a sudden, the peace of God. There was a calm. You could walk there, and a spirit was gone. But the deal is, and we tell them, you can't let it come back. You know, God got rid of it. He gave you authority over it. You can't let him come back in. You put a little note on your door. You're not allowed here. God lives in here. God lives in me, and I'm taking authority over you. My house and my family's covered by the blood of Jesus. You don't have no part here. Because if you allow him to, he's coming back. Many a times we got called to people's house. In certain rooms, it was bad. And you know, the sad thing is a lot of those people are not serving God today. You know, they forgot what God done. But my prayer, you see, they still living though. So there's still hope. They still living, so there's still hope. And my prayer is that they'll come to a complete realization. Maybe they need to walk down that spot again and feel that spirit. and cause them to realize God got rid of this spirit. Maybe I need to get back where I was in God and allow him to be the Lord of my life, and this spirit's got to go. So let's just be in prayer for one another. And look, if you're going through something, find you somebody that you can talk to and pray with you. Don't try to do this by yourself. You don't have to. There's no reason for me to go through something all alone when I got a church family that I come to church with all the time. There's no reason for me to do it by myself when I don't have to. And yeah, you might have your husband or your wife, but listen, find you somebody else. Find you somebody else. You know, just the other night, my wife told me she was hurting. So I just reached my hand over there, and, you know, she thinks I'm sleeping, but I'm praying. You know, sometimes in the night, I'll just reach my hand over there and just pray for her. You know, not all the time, the first time you pray, it leaves. But it don't change the fact of who God is. I just reach my hand over there again, and I pray. You know, we'll be sitting on a couch sometimes, and I'll just reach over and touch her and just start praying for her. She don't even hear me.
That's it.
See, she's my wife, and I'm not going to allow the devil to bring some sickness on her that God said I have authority over it because she's my wife. And I rebuke it, and I plead the blood of Jesus. You know, sometimes you got to do it more than once, but that's okay. Sometimes you might feel like God touched you, but you're not completely healed. Listen, walk in it, and your complete miracle is coming. Sometimes we got to live in it daily and accept it. Because God's not a liar. He's not a man that he should lie. And you are made whole in the name of Jesus. We love you. We appreciate you. You're dismissed.